the three end time weapons to overcome Satan. Let's look at Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So there are three weapons here with which they overcame the Lamb. Most of us only notice two of them, that is the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. But there is a third one. It says the third weapon is the people who did not love their lives to the death. So, this is now, even as we are stepping further and the time is moving ahead, evil is going to increase, demonic manifestations are going to increase, a demonization of human beings is going to increase. We are already living in an age, and we are already living in a time where you see a lot of demonization, demonic possessions have increased. People are demonized, their minds are demonized. Because Satan, why we have to overcome Satan? It says, because even as the time of the coming of the Lord will approach, Satan knows that his time is short. Let me read verse number 12. Therefore, it says, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Even as we are approaching towards the coming of the Lord, Satan knows he has a short time. Satan knows that his reign and rule is going to end. Hallelujah. The next time Satan is troubling you, remember this word. Tell him, you know you have a short time. And when they have a short time, they become more aggressive. They try by all means to strategize. But because he is a fool, because do you know what? Satan, he still thinks that he can dethrone God. He still thinks that he can defeat Jesus. He will keep on believing until the end that he can still defeat Jesus. That's why even after he was imprisoned, I don't have time, but you will see in the book of Revelation that Satan was arrested by God. After the beast, the antichrist, and the false prophet were thrown alive into the lake of fire, Satan was arrested by God. And there was 1,000 years that passed. And after that, again, Satan was loosed. And when again Satan was loosed, he again started to try. And he brought the souls of those who hate God together to form an army to fight against the New Jerusalem, to fight against the city of God. So, by the way, Satan has more faith than believers, because he does not give up. And he still thinks, by all means, that he can defeat God. He has a lot of self-confidence. He has a lot of faith in his own works. Because he still thinks that he can defeat believers. So, even as time progresses, his strategies will get advanced. His attacks will be intensified. If you think, you know what, good days are going to come and you will relax on your bed, you are wrong. The attacks that will come upon humankind, especially, let me talk about the attacks that will come upon believers who believe in the Lord, will be intensified. And the Bible says, for such a time as this, those who will overcome him will have three things: the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death, until death, even until death. Are we understanding? So there are three weapons of the end times that the Bible describes in the book of Revelation, with which believers will overcome Satan, with which you can overcome the dragon, with which you can overcome the big dragon that wants to persecute the church, that wants to persecute the woman that will give birth to Christ. That is what Revelation chapter number 12 is all about. These people are the church of God, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ on earth. Hallelujah. And they are the one. So I will not go in detail. I have already explained details about Revelation chapter number 12. But let us focus on the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives till death. These are the three weapons with which the people of God, the believers, will overcome Satan. So let us look at the first weapon, which is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Now, I have always been telling you that Satan has no power, no authority, and no anointing whatsoever to defeat you or to enter your life. But what he does is, he finds conditions on the basis of which he can get a foothold in your life, or he can enter your life and start manipulating you. He finds conditions, he finds footholds. It says Satan is like a roaring lion, and if you give him a foothold, he will enter. So he finds foothold, he finds opportunities to enter your life, and every opportunity that he can find is negated by the blood of the Lamb. Stay with me, okay? Satan can defeat us on the basis of these three conditions. What are the conditions? The first condition is, you are not covered under a spiritual insurance policy. You are not covered. Hallelujah. Okay. Some of you are laughing because I want to simplify things. What I mean to say is, you are not covered by the covering of God. But to explain that, I use the term a spiritual insurance policy. Hallelujah. Do you drive a car? How many of you have a car? It's compulsory for you to have an insurance policy for your car. Because in case you are a rash driver, you hit your car and the car is damaged, you don't worry. You don't worry because you say, my car was covered for this kind of an accident. Oh, brother, someone stole your car. Someone stole my car. Okay. You are not worrying. I don't worry. Why? Because it is covered. Theft is covered in my insurance policy. So I just have to go report to the police. If they are not able to find a car, my insurance company will give me the money, because theft of my car is covered in my insurance policy. Hallelujah. What did I say? Satan can defeat us on the basis of these three conditions. The first condition is, you are not covered under a spiritual insurance policy. If you are not covered under a spiritual insurance policy, you will bear damages. He will be a threat to you if you are not covered under a spiritual insurance policy. That is the first condition. Okay? We are on the blood of the Lamb. Stay with me, and I think we will be on the blood of the Lamb for today. It's a vast topic. Listen to me. The first basis on which he can defeat you is, you don't have a coverage of an insurance policy. The second condition is, there is a breach of contract initiated by us. What? There is a breach of a contract. Because I will come to that. The blood of the Lamb works on the basis of a legal contract. So when there is a breach of contract, when there is a breach of the spiritual contract by your side, he gets an open door to enter and defeat you. Hallelujah. The third condition upon which he can defeat you is, you are under his legal ownership. you are under his legal ownership. Okay, the first is you are not covered under an insurance, spiritual insurance policy. The second condition he can enter and defeat you is there is a breach of contract initiated by you that has opened a door because of the breach for Satan. And the third is he can defeat you because you are still under his legal ownership. Now, hallelujah. Are we together? Before we proceed, people of God, say amen. Everyone, those who are not on the screen, let those people say amen. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Apart from Princess Knowles, others' amens were not convincing. Okay, listen to me. The blood of Jesus negates all these three conditions to give us victory over Satan. The blood of Jesus negates all these three conditions to give us victory over Satan. Okay, now let us come, considering these three conditions, let us now come about how the blood of the Lamb is the first weapon to defeat Satan. The first function of the blood of the Lamb, what it does is, it provides you spiritual insurance, that is protection from the attacks of the enemy and death. We will come to that. So the first condition, so Satan can, now because you are not covered under an insurance policy, this guy Satan can come and persecute you, can damage you, or can even kill you. But the blood of Jesus is there to provide you a coverage from which the attacks of Satan and death cannot damage you, because you are covered under an insurance policy. The reason why I'm saying an insurance policy, because the benefits of the insurance policy can only be availed when you meet the terms of the contract. And we will come to that in detail. So the first condition on the basis of which Satan can attack you or even kill you is negated by the blood of the Lamb, because the blood of the Lamb is the coverage to cover you, to protect you from attacks of this Satan, and to cover you and to protect you from death. The blood of the Lamb. The second function of the blood of the Lamb is sanctification and purification of the holy and unholy things. Write it down. I will come to that later. I'm saying specifically, the blood of the Lamb is one of the weapons with which the believers will overcome Satan, because the second function of the blood of the Lamb is sanctification and purification of the holy and unholy things. Sanctification and purification of the holy and unholy things. So the sanctification and the purification by the blood of the Lamb initiates the bridging of the gap or the breach of the contract that was initiated by you. Okay, are we together? So the second condition on the basis of which Satan could defeat you was what? When there is a breach of the contract initiated by you, he gets a foothold or an open door to enter your life to defeat you. So that can be negated by the blood of the Lamb, by the function of the blood of the Lamb, which sanctifies and purifies your life, especially the holy and the unholy things. In other words, it can bridge the breach. It can fill the gap that was created by your breaching of the contract. Hallelujah. So even if you say, you know what, brother, I committed a sin because of which a door to Satan was opened, don't you worry. There is the blood of the Lamb. You have to repent and tell God and make a decision. You don't do it again. And the blood of the Lamb, as per the contract, we will come to the contract through which the blood of the Lamb starts to function. So when you repent and don't do it again, the blood of the Lamb will fill the gap or close the door that you opened by the breach of the contract. So the second way which Satan through which Satan can defeat you has been negated because of the blood of the Lamb. Okay, are we together? The third thing, the third function of the blood of the Lamb is, it negates legal ownership by establishing a new purchase contract for our lives. It negates the legal ownership of Satan over your life by establishing a new purchase contract for your life. Hallelujah. Maybe the house that you are owning right now was owned by someone else. But when you wanted to stay in the house, you had to make a new purchase contract with a clear title and take the name of ownership through the purchase contract in your name so that you can own that house now. That you are the clear owner and the only owner and the legal owner of that house. Our lives, when we were born from our mother's womb, was owned by a spirit entity. And that is iniquity. Iniquity is where a spirit entity identifies themselves with your life and even manifests their characteristics and their qualities through your life as soon as you are born. I have already taught about iniquity and taught in detail. But David says, I was conceived in evil and brought forth in iniquity. The meaning of the verse is that when a child is born, there is a spirit owner. Every child, no child is born holy. No child is born Christian. If any prophet comes and tells you, I became a prophet from my mother's womb. Ooh. No, it is wrong. And they use and quote Jeremiah. They are quoting scripture out of context. Jeremiah was not born a prophet out of the mother's womb. He was called to be a prophet. There is a difference from the mother's womb. He was called. He was not born. Nobody is born a Christian. Nobody attains salvation from the mother's womb. Some prophets say, oh, when were you saved? I was saved from the time I was born from my mother's womb. No, when you were born from your mother's womb, there was a spirit entity identifying themselves through your life. You were a child of iniquity. I was a child of iniquity because we were owned by darkness. We were owned by the devil. If we were not owned by the devil, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection is in vain. Because we were owned by the devil, there was a need of the establishment of a new purchase contract, of the transfer of ownership, which was initiated by the signature of the blood of Jesus Christ. So the third functionary of the blood of the Lamb is it negates the legal ownership by establishing a new purchase contract for our lives. And through that, it again negates the third condition on the basis of which Satan can defeat you. The third condition was what? When he has the legal ownership of your life. Satan can do whatever he wants with your life and he can say, I will not stop because I legally own this person. The forefathers had sold this person, the whole generation until the 14th generation, because the forefather wanted money. And the forefather said, let me make a deal. The next 14 generation that come out of my loins will be yours. And you give me this amount of money. There were covenants that were made, ancient covenants. Ancient contracts by human beings, between human beings and Satan. Not directly Satan, but maybe through a human wizard or witch. There are ancient contracts that hold you liable to the service of Satan, that hold you liable to the feet of Satan. And only the blood of Jesus, by the establishment of a new purchase contract, can break the legal ownership.
of that spirit entity and own you and adopt you in the family of the Father, adopt you in the family of Jehovah God, and bring you into the new family. And the establishment of the new contract has been initiated by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, for recap, we are on the scripture, we are on the topic, the three end time weapons to overcome Satan, and the first weapon is the blood of the Lamb. Are we understanding? So let's come to the first function of the blood of the Lamb. And we require the first function of the blood of the Lamb because, first of all, what did I tell you? Satan cannot defeat us by any means. The only way he can defeat us is when he finds conditions, when he finds footholds, when he finds open doors. And the first open door that he tries to find is, does this woman has an insurance policy or not? If the person does not has an insurance policy, he will come and damage your car. And you know you have to bear the damages because it is not covered. So he finds people without covering. If a person is covered, he cannot do anything. Hallelujah. It says, the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. And the Lord asked Satan, where do you come from? He said, from to and fro on the earth. And then the Lord recommended one man, Job. Job, have you seen my servant Job? So I told you what he was doing. He said, I have come from walking to and fro on the face of the earth. That means he was marking his territories by walking on it. I've already spoke about it, about walking and marching on territories. That is what he was doing. But he said, you are lying to me. There is one territory, Satan, you could not enter. Have you seen my servant Job, in whose territory you could not enter? And Satan said, I could not enter God because he was covered. I could not enter because he was covered. Now, the blood of Jesus was not into full effect while Job was living. But what was in effect was the service at the altar of God. Because Job believed in serving God through altars. And the Bible says every morning he will get up and sacrifice unto the Lord. The sacrifice that he was offering was a picture of the blood of Jesus being offered to God, which brought him coverage. So Satan cannot enter your life if you are covered. When he comes in your territory, you will see all your neighbors have died, but you did not die because you were covered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are covered. So Satan cannot enter your territory. Satan cannot enter your house when there is a coverage upon your life. Satan cannot touch you when there is a coverage upon your life. And that coverage is provided because of an insurance policy which is signed by you when you believe in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So let's come to the first function of the blood of the Lamb. The first function of the blood of the Lamb is protection from the attacks of the enemy and death. That is the spiritual insurance policy. Now, the blood of the Lamb, the benefits of the coverage of the blood of the Lamb will never be automatically applied over your life, over your house, and over your family. But there are terms of the contract of the blood of the Lamb that needs to be fulfilled. What are the terms of the contract? Can you turn with me to Exodus chapter number 12? Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 12. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 6 to 22. Verse number 6 to 22. Are we there? Okay. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. underline that scripture, verse number 7. And if you are writing down, write verse number 7 is the applying of the blood of the Lamb, which is the first term of the contract that needs to be fulfilled for you to need to be covered. Now, when you have a insurance policy, when you buy an insurance policy, there are certain coverages that you have to pay additional cost. Like there is a zero debt coverage. That means even if your car is completely damaged, you will not get the depreciated value. You will get the full value of your car. So you have to purchase that zero debt coverage. There is a theft coverage. It means if your car is stolen, you will get the value of your car from the insurance company. If it is stolen, it is covered. So that is how the blood of the Lamb has terms. It's a contract, has terms. The first term is applying the blood of the Lamb on your house. That is the first term. Stay with me. I will explain you everything through Revelation about the contract of the blood of the Lamb. All right, it says, verse number 7, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Okay? Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread. Underline unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is the second contract term of the blood of the Lamb. Unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Okay, let's skip all those things. And then it says, verse number 13. Let's jump to verse number 13, 1-3. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generation, you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Let's jump to verse number 16. Verse number 16. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought out your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Okay. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. So God is serious here about the Passover ritual, and he says that no leaven shall be found while you are doing this activity in your house. And whoever eats something with a leaven shall be cut off from the generation. In other words, the blood of the Lamb will not work for that person. Are we understanding? So that's what I'm saying. The second term of the contract is leaven. The first term of the contract is the application of the blood of the Lamb. The second term of the contract is the unleavened bread. If there is leaven in your houses, if you eat anything with the leaven, you will be cut off. That means the blood of the Lamb will not work for you. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see ahead. Verse number 20. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. Again, the application of blood, the applying of blood. Okay. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. That is the third term of the contract. To stay under or in the boundary of the blood. That is the third term of the contract of the blood of the lamb. To stay in the boundary of the blood. Okay, people of God, what are the three terms? The first term I said is the application of blood. The second term of the contract is unleavened bread. And the third term of the contract is staying in the boundary that the blood has, that you have made with the blood. Okay, now, stay with me. What does it mean to apply the blood on your house? What does it mean to apply the blood on your house? The application of the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and upon the lintels signifies a praying priest. Write it down. Signifying a praying priest. I am trying to teach you that the blood of the lamb will not automatically provide you full coverage for your life and for your family. There are terms of contracts that needs to be fulfilled for the blood of the lamb to cover you completely. And the first term is that you cannot say, oh, Jesus Christ died for me and he shed his blood for me. You cannot stop just by saying Jesus Christ died for me and he shed his blood for me. No, not until that. You cannot just stop. They could not just stop at, oh, I killed the Passover lamb. Now the blood will cover me. No, take the blood, dip a hyssop in the basin where the blood is and apply it on your house. Sprinkle it or apply it on the doorpost, on the lintel of your house. That is the application of the blood, and that means prayer, a praying priest. Listen to me. You say you believe in the blood of the lamb, but you and your family are not praying in your house. That means you believe in the blood of the, you believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, and you say you are a Christian, but since you and your household are not praying priest, the application of the blood on your doorpost is missing, because of which Satan can enter your house. You have to make sure that you are a praying priest. You and your family together are praying. And when you pray, it signifies that the blood is applied. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Application of the blood on the house is prayer. Sprinkling of blood by the priest is intercession and cleansing from sins. Leviticus chapter number 4. Now, I want to go to Leviticus chapter number 4, but I will not go now. I will go there when I come to the second function of the blood of the lamb, that is sanctification and purification. But to summarize Leviticus chapter number 4, the bull was killed for the sin offering and the blood was taken. And the altar was sanctified through the blood. So the priest would take the blood, apply the blood on the veil of the temple, apply the blood on the golden censer in the most holy place, apply the blood on the altar that is outside the temple. And by doing so, what they are doing is they are sanctifying the person unto the veil, unto the altar, and unto the outer altar. They are declaring that the person is cleansed by the blood to go through the veil, the prayers to go to the incense altar, and the prayers to arise from the outer altar. I have spoken about this on the Good Friday. So that is the meaning of the application of blood. When you apply blood, you become a priest, because in the temple of God, it is the priest that sprinkles the blood. Whenever a sin offering or a trespass offering was killed, it is the priest who take the blood and apply the blood. Are we understanding the application of the blood of the lamb signifies a praying priest? Hallelujah. Listen to me. This is very important what I am teaching you, but brethren, because the devil is going to enter houses. If you understand these weapons, you will overcome Satan and he cannot enter. So the blood of the lamb provides coverage for your house when you apply the blood in the first place. And application of the blood is the house should have an active altar and praying priest in the house. Hallelujah. Are you, as a husbands here in this place, men of the house in this place, you have the spiritual responsibility for your family to lead them in prayer. Are you leading your family in prayer? Are you becoming an example to them as a praying man? If you are not doing that, you might say you are a Christian, but you have not applied blood on your house. You understand what I mean to say? Hallelujah. Husbands of the house should take the more than you want to earn money and give them money and buy them gifts or make them happy in their flesh. Instead, fulfill God's responsibility in the spirit and become a praying priest as a leading example for your family so that you will have the blood applied on your house. That is why Job used to get up every morning and he would sacrifice unto God on his altar. And Satan said, oh, I could not breach the hedge of protection because he is covered. He is covered. Why he was covered? Because he was a praying priest. And when a praying priest is in the house, there is blood of the lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. And the death which will come upon Egypt will not enter your house. Are we understanding that? The first term of the contract is the application of the blood of the lamb. Okay. What is the second term of the contract? The second term of the contract is eating bread with no leaven or no leaven. What do you say? How do you pronounce that? Leaven or leaven? Eating bread with no leaven. All right. The same chapter, Exodus chapter number 12. Verse number 15 to 20. Verse number 15 to 20. Okay, let's skip verse number 15 and 16. Let's come on to verse number 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat what? Unleavened bread. Until the 21st day of the morning of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. Hallelujah. You see that? While you are applying the blood, that means when you are a praying priest, at the same time, what you need to do is the bread that you are eating shall not have any leaven in it. If you eat bread with leaven, or even if any leaven is found in your house, what will happen is that person will be what? Cut off from the nation of Israel. And the meaning of it is the blood will not be able to provide coverage for that person. And when death comes upon Egypt, it will also come upon that person because the person is having leaven. The person is eating bread with leaven. The second term of the blood of Jesus, the second term of the contract of the blood is you have to eat bread without leaven. You have to eat what? Bread. What does bread signify? It signifies the word without the leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is additions to the word. It's the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it is hypocrisy. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. I'm teaching you when the blood of the lamb will provide you coverage. When you fulfill the terms of the contract of the blood. The first term was application, prayer. Application of the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. The second term is you should not have any leaven in your house whatsoever, any leaven in your bread. So, in other words, God is asking you to prepare a table in your house, an altar in your house on which you will eat. And what you should eat is unleavened bread. not leavened bread, unleavened bread. That means word of God in its pure form, in its unadulterated form. That is what is supposed to be eaten in your house, for the blood of the lamb to provide you coverage. Leaven is addition to the word doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrisy, religious doctrines, traditions of men. That is what is leaven. Galatians chapter number 5. Turn with me to Galatians chapter number 5. People of God, if you are there, say amen. It seems very silent. Galatians chapter number 5. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Galatians chapter number 5. My subject is in verse number 9, but we want to read from verse number 1 onwards to find out context. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 1 onwards. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is he speaking about? What bondage? Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. What is he talking about? He is talking about rituals and traditions of men that some other preachers and teachers, so-called preachers of the gospel, came and started to teach the church of Galatians. And what they started to teach the church of Galatians is, you need to be circumcised, brothers, in order for you to be accepted by Christ. That is what they started to teach. You need to give up non-veg and wear white dress in order for you to be accepted by Christ. You need to go and pray and fast for 21 days in order for you to attain salvation. You need to get married, brother, for you to be accepted by Christ or to become a leader or a servant of God. These are traditions of men. Are we understanding that? These are traditions. So some gospel preachers came and started to introduce them to the traditions of men. You need to be a member of my church for you to go to heaven. Nonsense. Traditions of men. Are we understanding? That is the doctrine of Pharisees and Sadducees. So, your house shall have the pure bread on the table, and you shall eat of the pure bread. Don't put your family members, don't put your wife, your children under subjection to laws and traditions that is made by you, that is satisfying your ego. Oh, I am doing that. You also do it. No. Are we understanding? But feed them and bring on the table the pure word of God. Are we understanding? You cannot be accepted as holy before God when you fast for 40 days, when you do the Lent season. Oh, I don't want to go into those things. I've already preached about those things, about Lent, about Christmas, about Easter and all those stuff. People think, if we celebrate it, God is happy. No. You are offering sacrifices to a demonic deity by doing that. God is not pleased by all such stuff. Oh, you know, if I fast, God will be happy. Yeah, you know what? On top of that, some Christians sin and they replace repentance from sin with works of the law. With works of the law. Some Christians sin and they say, oh, you know what? They don't want to repent of the sin and say, I am wrong, I will not do it. Instead, what they want to do, I have some attacks, brother. I am going on a 7-day fast to get rid of the attacks. What they are doing is they are going on the 7 days fast so that God can overlook that their sin because of their 7 days fast. That is the traditions of men. That is the leaven in the bread. Are we understanding? Where a man wants to be justified by their own works and not through faith in Jesus Christ alone and by his grace. Are we understanding? Leaven in the bread. Leaven in the bread. Leaven in the bread. If you are going to a church and they are not eating unleavened bread, that church does not have the coverage of the blood of Jesus over it. When calamity strikes the city, you will see the church also falling down with the city. But if the church has the coverage of the blood of Jesus upon it, the city will fall, but the church will rise. Hallelujah. You know, while churches were shutting down during COVID, that is where some of the children of heaven rose. When calamity, when pastors were afraid and they did not wanted their masks to go down a bit while preaching because they thought COVID will enter through their nostrils. Some children of heaven were rising because they knew they had the coverage of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you understanding that? The blood of Jesus, for it to be, it to provide you coverage, you have to fulfill terms, beloved. Because so many believers just say, oh, I have the blood of Jesus. But are you abiding by the contract? Because the blood of Jesus has signed a contract to purchase you. I will come when I come to the third function of the blood of Jesus. And the contract is to purchase you. And the contract also acts as an insurance policy to cover you. But there are terms of the insurance policy that has to be fulfilled. And the second term is, you have to eat unleavened bread, unadulterated, undiluted word of God, pure word of God. That is what you have to eat on your family table. This Thanksgiving, when you put the table and the turkey, put the unleavened bread also to eat along with your family. Eat unleavened bread, which does not has additions to it and the traditions of men. Are we understanding? So I don't have time. Otherwise, I would have showed. There was this Galatians letter was included in this Bible because of a problem. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have written the letter of Galatians to the church. The problem was that some so-called people proclaiming themselves to be teachers started to introduce this, the people of the church, to traditions of the law and to pull them back. Oh, I believe in Christ and we have faith in Jesus Christ. That's not all. Every Sunday you have to wear white. You have to do this also. You have to do that also. They started to add works. That is your own things. Oh, you have to eat veg. You have to be vegetarian. Oh, what you do? Oh, you don't fast on Easter. You don't follow Lent season. You have to do Lent season. You have to do Easter. You have to do this. That is the leaven in the bread. Addition in the bread. Traditions of men. Okay, let me show you another scripture. Matthew's chapter number 16, verse number 5 to 12. Matthew's chapter number 16, verse number 5 to 12. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many larger baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are we understanding the leaven? The leaven is the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is centered around self and hypocrisy. A church where a pastor is telling you, come on time to the church, and he himself does not come on time, is a hypocrite. A church where the pastor wants the church to grow, but is never praying with the intercessors of the church. He says, my job is only to come and preach on Sunday, and that's why I get a salary from the organization. That's it. Is a hypocrite. Where he's teaching people. Listen to me. Christian leading is different. What does the Bible say? It is like a shepherd that leads the sheep. You will never see a shepherd pushing the sheep, going behind the sheep and pushing them. Go there, go here. No. The shepherd just walks and the sheep follow. But hallelujah. People who have been there in this ministry and they know me, you know that I never force people. Oh, come, do this, do that. I never. You don't want to do it. That's okay. Let's see someone else. Because I am leading. I am not in the business of pushing people. Pushing people. Do this, do that. So, some pastors, I was in churches where the pastor had to tell every Sunday to people, I am your pastor. Respect me. If you come in such a position, you have lost the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have lost the anointing, brother. You need to go into the secret place and find what has gone wrong. I have never told anyone, I am your pastor, listen to me. I am never in my ministry. I had to tell anyone. If people are not listening to you, there is a problem. There is a problem. Are we understanding? You know what is the problem? You have received and you are walking in the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You go to the Pharisees and the Sadducees church, they always had a whip with which they would condemn people. Oh, you did not do that. You did not do this. Oh, you did not do this. You see, I did it. They always had a whip. They were the push. They were not shepherds. They would not walk and the sheep would follow. They were behind the sheep. And they would push the sheep. So no pushing allowed in the kingdom of God. Force the sheep. I was in a church, in a leadership, where the pastor, I told that pastor, the pastor will ridicule those people. And those people who are faithless and disobedient and very rebellious, the pastor will push those people. No. They need to. I said, pastor, that lady is not even baptized. Why do you want to bring that lady on the stage to sing? The lady did not even take water baptism. No, I have to push people. That is my job. And then I recognized, I went once to the house of the pastor, and the pastor had many books on his table. I don't have many books on the table. Most of the books, apart from the Bible, are in my drawer. There are many books. And the books I saw was how to be a pastor, pastoral training. And in those books, he was installed with the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where he was taught that he has to push the sheep. He has to force the sheep. He has to build them up. You are not building anyone up. The word of God will build them up. You need to preach the word. You need to teach the pure word. And then commit the people to the word that you have taught. It says, the apostles committed the people, the congregation, to the word of his grace that can build them up and that can give them an inheritance among the saints. That is the ways of God. That is true shepherding, pastoring, or true apostolic ministry. Oh, no. I have to save them. What you will say? You are not Jesus. You are not the Holy Spirit. You are just a medium through which God is working. Are we understanding the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Beware of that leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And now I have already taught this many, I think 2 years ago. And I told in that sermon that Jesus had the most difficult assignment on the field of the gospel, to preach the gospel. He was handed over by the Father, the most difficult people to preach the gospel to. And the people he was handed over to minister to were the Jewish people of the nation of the nation of Israel. And if you read your Bible carefully, he performed signs, wonders, and miracles. And read your Bible carefully. Even after that, people believed that he is a prophet sent by God, but they did not believe that he is a son of God. Why? Because people were indoctrinated with the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which stopped people, which blinded them, which blocked their minds from believing in the Son of God, from turning their eyes away from the law and believing that if we only look unto Jesus by faith and believe in him, we will be saved. It was very difficult for them to believe if the works of the law and the self-centered work of their own traditions were not included for their salvation. So that's why Jesus was teaching the disciples and telling them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they put burdens on the shoulders of people that they themselves don't bear. I have been to places like that, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If your congregation has the appetite to stay all night and pray, and you, when you eat your food at 9 p.m. in the morning, at 9 p.m. in the night, as a pastor, you eat your food 9 p.m. in the night and you doze off and you say, my job is not to pray all night. I cannot be awake all night. Let the intercessors pray. You are not eligible to be, you are a hypocrite. You are placing burdens on the congregation that you yourself don't bear. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. A shepherd just leads, and those who want to follow, they will look at the shepherd and follow him. He will just do his job silently. He will not tell anyone what he is doing, how faithful he is. That is a true shepherd. He will not tell anyone how faithful he is. Oh, look at me. I'm doing this. I am doing that. Oh, I did not sleep and I prayed for you. I did not do this and I came on the meeting. I come, but no one of you come. He will never say. He will just walk with the Lord. And the rest, the true sheep will follow him. The true sheep will follow him. Beware of the doctrine, what? Of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are we understanding that? So, you have to eat bread with no leaven, unleavened bread. If anyone eats bread with leaven, cast it off of the congregation. That means not under the coverage of the blood. Okay, hallelujah. Let's come to the third condition, the third term of the contract of the blood of the Lamb. The third term of the contract of the blood of the Lamb is staying in the boundaries where the blood is applied. What? Staying in the boundary, staying inside the house where you have applied the blood. Exodus chapter number 12, the same chapter where we were about the Passover. Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 22. Hallelujah. Exodus 12, verse number 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Now, the question I want to ask is, what if someone is standing outside the door of the house after applying the blood, after eating unleavened bread, What if you go and stand outside the door of your house? What will happen? The spirit of death, the destroying spirit, will strike you. Because after praying and after eating the word, you did not stayed inside the boundary which the word created, which the blood created. You did not stayed inside the boundary. You did not stayed inside the instruction of God's wisdom. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Amen. That is the third term of the contract. That is the third term of the contract. God told the people of Israel when they invaded Jericho, and he told, do not take anything of Jericho, but burn everything and kill everyone. But there was a man called Achan. He thought, if I take off that Babylonian garment and take some of the coins, silver coins, the shekels, nothing will happen because it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful. But God's word is, don't take anything. That is the unleavened bread given to you. Don't take anything. But Achan went and took of the Babylonian garment. He went outside the boundary of the blood that resulted in the defeat of Israel. Are we understanding that? I am telling you, if you fulfill the three terms of the contract, you apply the blood, you eat unleavened bread, and you stay in the boundary of the blood, no demon or devil in the world can come near you. If you fulfill, but if you miss any of the terms of this three, of these three terms of the contract, the devil has an entrance. The devil has a foothold to enter your life and to defeat you. Are we understanding? It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. And I am teaching, that's why I'm telling you about the terms of the contract of the blood of the Lamb. It says, stay inside the house where you applied the blood. Don't go outside. Stay inside the house where you applied the blood. Obey God's instructions radically. Don't trespass the boundary that God created for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what will happen to me? If I go on a physical pulpit and start traveling to other places and other nations and start to minister, I am coming out of the boundary, because God told me, yet your season has not yet come. You sit there and you teach the word. That is the instruction of God to me. And if I stay in my position, in the place of ministry where God has placed me, and do that continually, I will be covered with the blood. But if I try to do my own things, because I want to show people that I have a big ministry and that my ministry is growing fast, I am coming out of the boundary that the blood created for me in order just to get some praises and approval of men. I am doing that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? Amen. So,
amen, Apostle. Amen.
Amen. So stay under the boundary, stay inside the boundary of the blood for the blood to provide you coverage. Stay inside the boundary of the blood. You are praying, and some people are praying, they are applying the blood, they are eating unleavened bread. But some people, sometimes they take the wrong decision of crossing the word of the Lord and getting married to a wrong person, and they lose coverage of the insurance policy. Stay inside the boundary that the blood has created. Moses told them, stay inside the house. Do not come out of your house, because during the night, the destroyer will come. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over. But when he sees you outside the boundary of the blood, he will kill you. Hallelujah. You have to ask yourself a question, that do you take God's instruction seriously? I told you, the wisdom of God is God's instruction unto mankind. Because there is so much of revelations taken into consideration in one simple sentence that God speaks to you. If he speaks to me, do not marry that woman. It may sound like a simple commandment, but there is a lot, because he sees my future. He knows that there is a way that I need to go on. And if I marry that woman, I will have a diversion of the way. I will lose coverage. I may lose coverage. I know that he has placed me in this wilderness, and I am not allowed to go out for quite a long time. And I will not go out because this is the place where the blood covers me. Are we understanding? There is so much intense competition in Christian ministry that people cannot wait nowadays. They want to show their fast growth of their ministry. They want to show so many other things to people. And in doing so, they do not listen to God's instruction and wait. They go out of the boundary of the blood, and that's why they are attacked. That's why some of them die. That's why some of them are now agents of Babylon and not servants of God. They were servants of God once upon a time, but now they have become agents of Babylon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Your anxiousness, if your desire is for ministry more than God, you will cross the boundary one day. And you will lose the blood coverage, the blood of the Lamb coverage over your life. That's why it's very important at the first place to keep a check on your heart and the desires of your heart. Every day I ask myself, do I really love God with all my heart? Let me have a check. Let me have a check. If I love God, what does the Bible say? I will obey his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, the first thing you will do is obey me. That means if there is a small disobedience in my life, that means I don't love him really. That is the truth. There is something else in my heart apart from him. That is the truth. So are we understanding? The three terms of the contract is application of the blood on your door, on your house, that is prayer. Then eating unleavened bread, that means eating the pure word of God, and then staying in the boundary of the blood. When the three terms of the contract are met, the blood of the Lamb will cover you, and the destroyer that destroys Egypt will not be able to come to you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, the next function of the blood is sanctification and purification of the holy and the unholy things. Hallelujah. Most of us who are here don't need sanctification of the unholy, that means of the flesh. But every one of us here who love God needs sanctification of the holy things. The Bible says that, therefore, cleanse yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh and what? Of the spirit. That is a deep cleansing, where I want to teach you that the blood of Jesus sanctifies not only our flesh, but also our spirit. That is the sanctification from the holy things. That is the deep cleansing that a priest requires. That is the deep searching of our hearts that we require. Are we understanding? Okay, I think let me end here, because it's a vast topic. If I start off that now, we will have to go a long way. So let me continue next time, and let us pray. Revelation chapter number 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Father, may we become the people, oh Lord, who have the knowledge of the blood of the Lamb, of the word of our testimony, and let us not love our lives even until death. Let us become like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Let us be like you, Jesus. You did not love your own life, Lord, until death. You obeyed your Father. Oh, Father, that is deep Christianity, Lord, where we love you more than life. We love you more than life, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only then we will be able to overcome Satan in such a time as this. Oh, Father, I pray each and every person who is sitting here and listening to your word, that they will overcome Satan in their lives in Jesus' name, that they will reject substandard Christianity, Lord. They will reject carnal Christianity, Lord. Oh, and they will live a life, oh Lord, that you want them to live. And the life that you want them to live, oh Lord, is the life that will dominate Satan and his kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray that you will revive your people with fire, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for your blood that covers us, Lord. Let us abide by the terms of the contract that your blood has made and purchased our life with. Father, I want to thank you that we are not the children of iniquity, but we are purchased by the blood of Jesus. Wherever we were sold to whatever spirit entities, Lord, we are purchased back by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the hold of iniquity is broken upon our lives. And tonight, Lord, the blood of Jesus covers us. If there was any breach in your contracts of these terms, tonight is the time to repent and fix the gap so that the blood of the Lamb will cover you. The blood of the Lamb will cover you. The blood of the Lamb will cover your family. Oh, hallelujah. Husbands, cry aloud to the Lord. If you have backslided from prayer, tonight is the time for you to become a praying priest. Oh, if you want your family and your life to be safe from the attacks of Satan that is coming upon your city, that is coming upon your nation, that is coming upon your house, you need to apply the blood. You need to become a praying priest. You need to become a teaching priest. There is the praying priest, there is the teaching priest. And the teaching priest teaches people the difference between the holy and the unholy. That I will cover next time. But that is what unleavened bread, especially husbands of the house. I want to, the Lord is asking you to be the praying priest and to be the teaching priest of your house. You need to lead. You have a responsibility, and the sheep that are assigned to you to lead is your family member, is your wife, are your children's. Lead them. And those women who have a husband who is unbelieving, it is your responsibility to be the praying priest of the house. It is your responsibility to be the teaching priest of the house, because your husband does not believe. And lead by example and have the application of the blood of Jesus on your house. Eat unleavened bread. Oh, reba zokrovolti aldra lavanzianta karavanzianto koravanda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you for your blood, Lord, for that spiritual insurance policy that has been initiated and signed because of your sacrifice on the cross that covers us, Lord. How privileged we are, Lord. How privileged we are. Father, we want to thank you for this time, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord, every leaven from the bread be removed and uprooted in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every doctrine and the hold of the Pharisees and the Sadducees be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you once again that you have given us unleavened bread to eat, Lord. Oh Lord, you have allowed us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to pray and to apply the blood, Lord. And Lord, whatever we have heard, Lord, let us stay in the boundary created by the blood of Jesus Christ and not go out, Lord. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because Lord, you have preserved us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes even when your people, Lord, we, your people, have breached the contracts and we were supposed to die or we were supposed to be attacked, it was your grace and mercy that protected us and you gave us one more chance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to give you all the glory for your love. Thank you, Lord. May we realize and may we understand the great love that you have for us, Lord. Your love is greater than anyone else on the earth. Oh, Lord, because you died for our sins, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to give you the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to lead us and guide us even on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, Lord. Hallelujah. That your Holy Spirit, Lord, will lead your people, Lord. Hallelujah. And fill us with your fire, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. People of God, can you shout hallelujah? Can you shout amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.